Welcome back to another episode of Seeing Your Inner Brilliance, the podcast dedicated to us high-achieving big dreamers, the ones who are crazy enough to actually think that we can change the world. I literally help you see your inner brilliance, that light and that power inside of you of who you really are, not who life has taught you to be or shamed you into being or made you feel like you should be. No, that person inside of you who you are meant to be. And from that place, achieving your dreams and going after your dreams and your visions and creating the life that you want from that place. Woo! Already fired up. I am your host, self-worth and confidence coach, Charlsey Childers. Switching gears a little bit into this episode, let me ask you, what comes up for you when you hear the concept of building or creating a life around what you want? Does that sound a little fluffy to you? Maybe it sounds a little esoteric or just like a Pinterest quote, right? Maybe it sounds like a bunch of BS. Maybe there's a thought that it could be like that for other people, but not for you. Or maybe it excites you on the inside and it's something that you really want. Well, that's exactly what this episode is all about. Because as big dreamers and high achievers, yes, we can have the natural drive, determination, and grit. Yes, we can have the ability to envision a life that is more and better and greater than the amazing one that we currently have. Those things are wonderful and it is part of our power. However, what about the part where we actually bring in the calling, we bring in the vision on the inside and believing that it's actually possible, that it's doable, that we don't need to look to the external in order to find out whether or not we are on the right track or not. We could just lean into this inevitability of it, know that we are worthy, know that we are deserving of it, and know that that our dream and the thing that we envision and bringing into this world, is it something greater? It's not something, you know, I like to think of it as a mountain. Here we are, at least for a lot of my clients, here we are. Our dreams are at the top of the mountain. They are big. They are grand. They have this sort of view that you can only see from the top. And then there's this tendency to feel like our dreams are so big and so grand. Who am I? So we feel very small. We feel like we are down at the bottom of the ground, standing there looking at this big mountain, thinking, how am I going to climb that? How am I going to get there? How are all of these parts going to play out? Can I even actually do this? And so at some point, we have to bring it in. And it's a continual work. It's a life. Time. It is what I literally have given my life to. I am devoted to giving my life to helping big dreamers solidify this place within themselves. Once again, it's a lifetime. It's a journey. So doing this over and over and over again, especially with each and every level that we climb, with facing new doubts and the new upper limits and new fears that rise up and have the power to hold us back from getting to that next level, getting to that next peak or point on the trail of the mountain as we are climbing it. So that is exactly what this episode is all about. The purpose of it is to help you see and help you just ground into the fact that your dream is possible, that the life you envision is possible, the life you want, wanting to live a life that you love is possible. And so when you listen to conversations like this, it helps your mind accept it. It helps drive it home into your nervous system as from a place of normalization, because this isn't normal in a lot of our worlds. Whether it's achieving, I don't know, $500,000 a month, whether it's reaching a million people, whether it's becoming the best known personal stylist and fashion designer, maybe it's having the largest real estate business that the world has ever seen, whether it's traveling around the world, whatever life you are envisioning for yourself, it is so, so important for us big dreamers to constantly surround ourselves and put our mind into situations and conversations and energy to where that becomes our normal, because life echoes the average. Life echoes meteorocracy. Life echoes logic. And the, I say this loosely, but the 9-to-5, the traditional American dream, that's what our life naturally normalizes. So to help us out, big dreamers need to normalize something else. And that is the purpose of this conversation. I'm joined with one of the most beautiful souls I have ever been divinely connected to. Her name is Jen Potter. She's a serial entrepreneur, mom of three. She's training for the Boston Marathon. Oh, and she survived a heart attack. This girl knows a thing or two about creating a life around what she wants because she is literally living it. She is that girl who is going after what she wants. She's proving to herself that it's possible that she can do it, and she's enjoying the journey along the way. And of course, because she had a heart attack, which when we have a significant event in our life, a lot of times there are some key takeaways, right? And one of the key takeaways that Jen took from that experience was just this: creating a life that she wants and that she loves. She is not waiting for the tens of thousands of followers or customers before she gets there. She is living her success and her highest potential now. And the awesome thing is that you can too. I can too. It's all available to us. And that is what this episode is all about. If you've been thinking that you don't have what it takes, you don't know enough, aren't qualified enough to do the thing that's on your heart, and or that it has to look a certain way because that's how it looked for someone else, then this episode is for you. Before we dive in, though, I want to give you a little update on what's going on in my world, and more so the ways that you can go deeper into my work, into working with me, in order to solidify your confidence and your belief about yourself so that you can move through those doubts and inadequacies and upper limits that are currently rising up within you. You can move through them and get on with them so that you can get to your next level of success and impact. So to kick us off, check out the Made for More Masterclass. This is for go-getters who feel like there's more to life, maybe feel crazy or guilty for wanting more than the good life you already have right now. In this masterclass, we tap into trusting these feelings and nudges inside, believing that your desires are connected to your calling, and helping you own the flipping amazing life that you envision for yourself without feeling like you have to apologize or justify it. Oh, this masterclass is so, so good because I sure needed this almost 7 years ago when I was at the start of my journey and pursuing my dreams and desires. To be honest with you, I go back to this material when I'm having one of those days when I'm just not feeling it, or if I'm in a funk. So definitely check out that masterclass if you are somebody who has something, you have a big yearning desire on your heart that you want to go after. You know you are made for more, but you are looking for the confidence, the oomph, the yes, do this, go after it, and starting to cultivate that believability that you... that you can actually do it. That is what the masterclass is for. Also, we are gearing up for another round of BTG. Be that girl or be that guy. Ugh, this is one of my favorite programs I have ever created because of how powerful it is to not look to the external for proof and evidence that you can do the things that you want to do. There's no more waiting to see if it works before you believe that it can work for you. No more waiting for the number of downloads, sales, testimonies to believe that you know enough and are smart enough, that you know enough people or any of that jazz. And no more convincing yourself that your desires aren't as important as, let's say, your son's football game or a clean house. No, you get to feel that success that you want now. You get to feel as successful AF now. You get to feel worthy of your achievements and your accomplishments now. We don't have to wait for the results to show up in our world like so many of us are honestly deeply conditioned to do. And so we're so deeply entangled with that. And the best part is that you get to take action from this place of confidence to propel you into the results that you desire. BTG teaches you the psychology and energetics of all of this through 6 intentional masterclasses, 3 bi-weekly calls, and a supportive community of other amazing big dreamers and visionaries who are also on this journey. That was a lot to talk about. There is so much exciting stuff going on in my world. And if you feel called and compelled, then I pray that you just have the courage to look deeper, because I want you to know that you are so supported here. I am here for you in so many ways. This is literally what I do. It is not only my personal life's work of working through, you know, to get to this place of worthiness and knowing and being able to stand in my power, but it's also my career. I have made a career out of it because I know without a shadow of a doubt that this is my calling and this is part of why God has put me on this earth. So I am here for you. I am so here for you. Whew. Alrighty. Now, without further ado, let's hear from Miss Jen Potter.
Jen, I am so thankful and so excited we're doing this. You have quickly become one of my favorite people to talk to and hang out with, because your energy is just so uplifting. You're so inspiring. And then not to mention, you are a total badass. Like, you're a total just, we'll get into this, but I mean, you own 5 different businesses. You're a mom of 3. You're just the epitome of doing all the things, and you do it with such high energy. So Jen, welcome to the show.
Exact same way. So thank you.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. So on that note, I'm sure to the woman who's listening right now, she might have these instant comparison lies that are creeping up of, oh my gosh, she owns 5 businesses. She has 3 kids. I can't do it. I'm feeling defeated. I'm feeling less than. Look at everything that I'm not doing. So if you will, just give us a glimpse of your world and what it's like in your world. And if you've thought the same things.
So I feel crazy, right? So most people who talk to me, they're like, oh my goodness, how do you do all of the things all of the time? And what I tell everybody is, what I do is for me and what you do is for you. So, you know, you said something that was like really powerful. Like, I may not be doing all of the things that she's doing, or I can barely handle the things that I have in my life. And it's about self-reflection. It's not so much about what other people are doing. I think it's really important that when we really drop the what other people think, or what are other people going to think of what I'm doing in my life? When you let that go, it really changes the perspective of how we're handling things and how we're doing things. Cause like, I turned 40 this year, and you know, as my birthday starts to creep up, it's like this weird sense of letting go of the, you know, the judgment and, you know, what people think of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. I'm doing it more for me and doing it for my personal growth. So the things that I do, they're all for me. So while I have several businesses, I do them because they're something that I really enjoy doing. And it's not that I'm doing all of them on my own. One of the things that, you know, I think is really important to understand when I tell other people I have several businesses is that I have other people that help me to delegate them. So I think that that's really important to understand too. So it's like, you know, I am pretty amazing, but I don't do it all by myself all of the time. I have really incredible people who work for me. So that's one part of it. And yes, I'm a mom, right? And I feel like as we have each child, and you as a mom probably understand this too, you start to really understand the time that you didn't think you have so much more time, right? It's like this weird sense of like, when you have no children, you're like, I have no time to do the thing. And then you have a child and you're like, wow, I have so much more time. And every time I had a kid, I was like, wow, I really do have a lot of time. How am I like shifting it around? So I think that that's really important to really think about. And one of the things that I got really good at with a crazy girl with ADHD, if you didn't get that in the first 5 minutes, like all the businesses, all the kids, a puppy, and, you know, a life, I had to get really good at scheduling. So that's something that like I love doing and being super efficient with my time.
Oh, so very well said. Oh my gosh, I'm so amped up. We're not even 5 minutes into the show. We literally covered so much.
I can talk. I'm a fast talker.
No, this is so good. It's so good. So my first, the first thing that's coming to me to ask you about is the shoulds and how they have shown up in your life, you know, with having 5 businesses, with being a mom. I should be further along. I should be doing what she's doing. I should get past the certain level in my business. Has that shown up for you at any point in your life or over the past few years? Because I know you've been talking about letting it all go.
Yeah, I'm sure it did a few years ago, where we start to compare ourselves to other people. It's so easy, right? With society and social media. And social media is really funny because we can make people think whatever they want to think. And I'm really good at that. And not that I'm saying that I'm deceiving by any means, but like if I post a video and, or I record a video at 4 o'clock in the morning, I may post it at 4 o'clock in the night, you know, at night. So where I was at 4 a.m. and where I am at 4 o'clock at night are two completely different places in the course of my day. So when I post it, someone's like, oh, I didn't know that you were there. I'm like, well, I wasn't. I was actually sitting in my house. So, you know, something even just as small as that, it's really easy to, you know, kind of manipulate time and manipulate what other people see. So I think it's really easy for us to like have like that, oh my goodness, I want to do what that person's doing. I want to be what that person is. And then you got to just like, there was just something inside of me that just said, these are the things that I want. And this is where I want to be. And this is what's going to bring me happiness and fulfillment within myself and my life. Because chasing somebody else's dreams are never going to make us happy, right? Like you can envy the person who's like out on the beach while you're sitting and working. Well, you want to go to the beach. How are you going to get there? What are you going to do to set up the plans to get to where you, that person is without being jealous of that person being on the beach? You know, so I think it's setting the goals and intentions within ourselves and creating this life within our own realm, I think is really important. So for me, it was like finding that true happiness inside. What are the things that I do that make me happy? We, in a meeting a few days ago, something was said and it resonated so hard with me. And it was like, when you wake up in the morning and the first thought out of your head is, oh my God, I don't want to go where I'm going. You need to change your life. You need to really look inward and start to figure out like, what is it that you want to do that's going to bring you joy and happiness? Like going to a 9-to-5 job may make you super happy, or going to a 9-to-5 job may make you absolutely miserable. Everybody has a different idea of what they want to do, whether it's working for someone else or working for themselves. But when you wake up in the morning, the first thought out of your head should actually be, thank God I'm alive. And then it should be, I can't wait to do the things that I'm going to do. I have another day. I'm so blessed to be where I am. I also had a heart attack 4 years ago. So I think that that kind of changed my mentality. Every day I wake up, I'm like, I'm here. I can do this. Like now I have a whole nother day to like achieve greatness. Right. And I think that that changes my perspective when I'm looking at things, but it's creating this inside, which I think really, it changes your perspective. And we stop comparing ourselves. You've got to stop comparing yourself to other people. We aren't that person. We are ourselves. And it's hard for women.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've definitely experienced that in my own life. You know, this shift of, instead of comparison, it's like personal accountability within ourselves. And so talk to us about what that shift looked like for you and how, you know, I know that expectations and this constant disappointment has been maybe an echo in your life. So where does that fall into that?
Yeah. So we had a previous conversation about this, right? So like we both come from traumatic backgrounds. And for me, the traumatic background, I think, is why I'm the person I am today. I come from a family of, you should have done this and, you know, you're never going to succeed. And, you know, this false illusion of you're never going to be the person that you want to be. And, you know, not saying that everybody around me is super negative, but, you know, growing up, it was a really negative environment and I was constantly disappointed. And I had to get to this point in my own journey where I started creating, you know, like I said, creating that happiness and creating the things that truly make me happy in order to do things. And right around, it was probably before I had my heart attack, I really started doing a lot of self-reflection and a lot of like, I got myself a life coach and she was fantastic. You know, just someone to kind of bounce my ideas off of. So if you don't have a coach or a mentor or a therapist, I have all of them. It's super important, right? So I think it's super important to like, just talk to someone, you know, whether it's a friend that you can really, you know, in trust, or if, you know, it's just someone that you can kind of let go, I don't suggest like a best friend or a significant other when you're trying to like talk through things, because there's that personal involvement. You need someone who can kind of just be black and white. I think that that's super important when we're, you know, trying to grow, but learning, like really taking the next step to kind of look inward. And for me, it's listening to motivational podcasts, right? Like, you know, I told you this a few times. The first time I listened to your podcast, I'm like, I had to listen to a few of them because like they were just so uplifting and motivating. And I'm just like, oh my God, I love this so much. Like, I love surrounding myself with people who truly feel the same way that I feel about life. And it starts to shift our mentality, right? Like, you put this positive energy out there, the positive energy comes right back. And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Like, this took years. Like, this is practice. It's like yoga, right? Like, I've taught yoga forever. And in yoga, you have to constantly remember to why we do things. One day you can bend over and touch your toes, and the next day you can't. And that's completely okay, because that's just how life works. Some days you can do it, some days you can't, and you just keep going, right? And so I think that that's super important, is to continue to practice it. There was a book that I read, my goodness, I look at it every single day, and I probably have for about 7 years, is The Magic by Rhonda Burns. And I am obsessed with that book. And some people look at me and they're like, well, why? Because the little nuggets that are in that book with being grateful and thankful and like changing our positive mindset has really helped me. Like, when I'm having like a bad day, like something shitty can happen, and I can either do one or two things. I could be like, oh my goodness, this was like the worst day of my life. Or I could be like, well, what did I learn from it? What was the positive that came out of it? What are things that I can grab from that that can make my day better, right? And I think that that's super important. So it's a lot of shifting of thoughts. It's hard.
I love, you just painted such a beautiful picture, because you touched a little bit on your traumatic upbringing and the shoulds that you endured. And I definitely want to go into that more, but then you connected it to where you are now. And it's evident your growth, your inner work. And a lot of times, at least from my angle, that we have this stigma around confident, ambitious women who are doing it, that we don't need to constantly, you know, seek out coaches. We don't need to constantly like grow and evolve and read books, because from the outside, we have it all together. From the outside, we have arrived. From the outside, we are doing all the things, but yet you just so beautifully honed in on the fact that no, this is a journey, and there's nothing wrong with being an ambitious, high achieving woman who owns five businesses and having a coach, a therapist, and a mentor. There's no shame in that.
No, absolutely not. And it helps us to grow and keeps us accountable, right? So if I'm going to be a coach and a mentor, right? So like, as one of my businesses, like I consult, I'm a venture builder. So like, I help other people grow in their businesses. And if I'm going to do that for someone else, I better have my own accountabilities, right? Like, I need someone to call me on my stuff, someone to say, hey, you said you were going to do this. Did you do this? And by having, you know, someone kind of hold me accountable really allows me to make sure that I'm doing the things that I need to do to be present for my clients as well. So it's, you know, some people look at it like, a lot of people don't like to invest in themselves. It's so easy to go, oh, that's $500 a month that I just can't afford. Well, let's break this down into reality. It's $500 a month. If I broke this down into a daily basis, what does that look like? How many clients do I need to get in order to invest in myself and invest in my business? Because first and foremost, that's a business write-off, right? So if you're investing in yourself, it's a full business write-off, because this is investment in your business, not just in yourself. And then you're able to kind of really strategize and really get really honed in on the things that we're working on. And if you don't own a business, having a coach or having a mentor or having a therapist, someone to really help us to grow to the next level. Because if you work a 9-to-5 job and that's what you love doing, and, you know, I'll use this as an example. I was a senior analyst, and if I wanted to go to the next level, I needed to level up. I needed to learn more. I needed to do more things. Well, what was I going to do in order to do that? So no matter where we are, there's always that opportunity to learn and grow. And if it's not where you are, go do it somewhere else. Nothing's keeping you where you are. There's nobody and no force in the universe that is keeping you exactly where you are in this moment, except for you. And when you realize that nobody has control over anything that you do, your life changes.
Oof, bam. Mic drop.
Bam. If it wasn't so expensive, I'd drop it.
And it's so funny that you mentioned this because we can feel this pressure. You should go to college. You should pay $50,000 right out of high school in something that you don't even really care about. You should go into this corporate career that, again, you don't even really care about and don't really want to do, but you should do it. You should do this. You should do that. But yet, when it comes to things that we actually should do from a place of growth and abundance, of investing in ourselves and unpacking, you know, maybe certain mindset blocks that are stopping us or certain insecurities about ourselves, there's this hesitation, this resistance of, I should do this, but it's not okay for me to do this.
Right. And it's also from a level of being comfortable too. So I was like meeting with a new client the other day. And I looked at her and she's so brilliant. Like everybody that I work with, like I love listening to their story, what they want to do and where they want to go. And this woman is so brilliant. And I looked at her and I was like, what are you scared of? And, you know, she wants to start her own business. And I'm like, what are you actually scared of? She was like, well, what if I fail? I'm like, what if you don't? You know, and she's like, well, I'm just scared that, like, you know, I'm not going to be successful. And, you know, the things that I'm doing, I'm like, well, what if you are? It's so easy for us to quickly, like, go down the rabbit hole of, like, what if I don't succeed? Well, if you don't succeed, what did you learn from it? What did you take out of that in order to continue to grow? I'll be the first to tell you, with all of the businesses that I have, there's always a failing forward. Shit, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I invested, you know, money in a spot that I probably shouldn't have. And it cost me X amount of dollars, you know, like training an employee and then they quit and you're like, wow, I just lost $2,000. Or I say, wow, I just invested $2,000 in my company and it was a learning experience of how I'm going to do it differently the next time. So you can take two things. I lost it or I invested it. And when you shift that mindset, things change, right? Like the United States is a beautiful thing. And not that everybody wants to hear this. And this isn't like solid business advice because it is and it isn't. But like you can start a business, right? And you can go into business. And if you absolutely fail, like we won't even put a dollar sign on it, right? Say you have zero. We won't even talk about debt. We'll just talk about having absolutely nothing. Your business fails. You have nothing, right? You are zero. We're not in the negative. We'll say zero. You're there. What is the worst that can happen? You close your business. And then tomorrow in the beautiful United States, you can get another EIN number and you can start another business. It doesn't affect your personal credit. It doesn't affect you in your home life because you have like an S corp or something else that, like, God forbid something happens. But the worst case scenario is that you don't succeed. Well, tomorrow you can start over again. What's the worst case? Like, unless you're creating, like, you know, like tax fraud and stuff, then we get a whole nother thing. But like, if you're doing all the things and you don't succeed, there's always another opportunity. And I think people fail to realize that they really fail in the moment in saying, well, what if I don't succeed? Well, what if I do? And if I do fail, then what am I going to learn from it and continue to grow from it? And I think that that's really important because all successful business owners will tell you we fall on our face constantly. I constantly fall on my face, but that's cool because I get right back up.
Gosh, I just love you so much. Oh my goodness. So talk to us about your upbringing and your, maybe some would perceive it as a failed childhood. You know what I mean? That maybe your parents failed you or being under the pressure of you should do this, you should not do that. What was that like for you?
Yeah. So I had a shitty upbringing. So I come from a very tough family, we'll say. I had, you know, my dad's parents really weren't in the picture too much. They passed away when I was really young. But my mom and her family, I mean, they're still like kind of in my realm. But my biological mom growing up was a drug addict and an alcoholic. So like right out the gate, like she was a shitty parent. She had me when she was like 16 years old. You know, she didn't know how to be a parent. She has like borderline personality disorder. She has bipolar. She has, you know, ADHD. She has OCD. She, you know, I got some of those things. I got the ADHD and the OCD, but the other two things, like, thank God, like I don't have. So I'm blessed with that. But, you know, she had all of these things and she wasn't really medicated, you know, especially in the 80s, you know, so for her, her medication was like cocaine and alcohol. So that's how she survived. And, you know, she was very abusive, both physically and verbally and mentally. So for me, like, it was really, really tough growing up. And, you know, she left my dad. There was three kids. She left my dad when I was about 10. And she was still always kind of in the picture and very manipulative. And, you know, like, really, she did some really shitty things to me, like, you know, broke bones, broke noses, like, you know, hurt me physically. I think we talked about this before. I am writing a book that kind of goes into a little bit more detail that kind of talks about like the things that I went through as a child and what that was like as a child. Because for me, I could have turned out one of two ways, right? Like as I started getting older, like I would always hear like, you're going to turn out just like your mom. And I'm like, I don't understand why people keep saying this because like my mom is batshit crazy. Like I might be a little crazy, but like I'm a smart fucking kid and I am doing all the things to be a good kid. I don't understand why outside forces would constantly tell me like, you're going to turn out like your mom. Like my biological dad, like he's fantastic. He's kind of oblivious to life, but he, you know, he worked super, super hard to make sure that we were taken care of. Like we were super poor when we were little. So like he worked all of the time. So he actually never saw us. Like we were in daycare. I was like 10 years old taking care of my two brothers. I look at my 10 year old now and I'm like, there's no way in God's green earth could this kid take care of my other two kids 40 hours a week. I look at that. I'm like, what were my parents thinking? Like they left me in charge every day. Like during the summer, I'm like, how did they survive? Like, how did my brothers survive? Because it's just such a different world, right? But I had this like really awful upbringing and all of these traumatic things that happened. But as I started to get older, I was so envious of like the kids that had parents that like loved each other or looked like they loved each other. And like the kids that had like the nice clothes that they weren't getting clothes from the Salvation Army or hand-me-downs. Like I had hand-me-downs, like I wore my dad's clothes because we didn't really have clothing. And, you know, it was like this weird type of mentality that like I was jealous of like the other kids, but like I just wanted to live a normal life. And so like as I started to get a little bit older, like I started working super early. I think I was like 14 when I started working so I can help to support the family. And, you know, I started getting this really strong work ethic from a really young age out of I had to, not because I wanted to. And it really taught me, you know, if I work really hard, I make money and I can afford to do all of the things that I need to do. So, I mean, it was a great lesson growing up, but like I don't think I was as apt to want to go right into school. Like there were programs, like I was part of a really awesome program that like helps to get you into college, and instead of me taking the scholarship, a full scholarship to go to college, I decided to go to art school because that's, you know, they said you should go and get the math degree, and I said, you know, but I really like photography and I want to go to art school, and I instantly put myself in debt. So I mean, in hindsight, I probably don't recommend that to anyone, but but with that being said, I went to school and then I started going to school and then I dropped out because I couldn't really afford it, and then I went back to work and then I went back to school. I didn't finish my degree till I was 30. My degree is in exercise, health science, and biology. I am a science nerd. I'm so grateful that I have that degree, but I don't do anything with it. So like you said before, you should get the degree. Well, why? I mean, for me, it was just an achievement. I'm the first person in my entire family to graduate from college. And so for me, that was super important. But in hindsight, I probably would have done it a little differently if I had the right guidance. So like with my kids, like if they come to me and they're like, Mom, I don't want to go to college. Okay, cool. Don't waste my money. Let's wait till you know what you want to do. And, you know, maybe you go to work for a year before you go and do it. Like, so my mentality is very different when it comes to how I'm going to guide my children, because I had no guidance whatsoever. It put me in a little bit of debt, but you know, it is what it is.
Thank you so much for opening your heart and sharing all of that with us. It just, I don't know, gives us a beautiful picture of where we came from and where we are now. Right. And it's,
well, it's a big story. I'm trying to, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't wait till your book.
Me neither. I'm nervous.
It's so divine that you actually went in this direction, because the next thing that was on my heart to talk to you about was your ambition and where did it come from? And I know that in the clients I work with, we're all ambitious. We're all driven. We're all, you know, go-getters and like the black sheep in terms of having big dreams and that sort of thing. I also see that ambition can look like one of two ways. It can look like this natural drive to want to do better and to make an impact and leave a legacy and create a better life for our family, or it can actually come from a place of lack, in a place of overcompensating, in a place of proving. And so Has that ever, have you seen that in your life, or what comes up for you when you hear that?
Yeah. So like, you know, especially when I was going into college the first time, I had this feeling like everyone would tell me that I wasn't going to succeed. You were going to turn out like your mom. Like I had family members that would tell me my stepmom, like, is super Portuguese and like, you know, had her master's and she's super smart, but like comes from like that mentality of if you do it, that's what you're meant to do. And if you don't do it, like I told you that was going to happen. And so like growing up, I always had this, like, I have to prove everybody wrong. I have to prove everybody wrong that I am going to be better than what my mother was. I'm going to prove everyone wrong that I don't have to be a product of my environment. And that's one of the things that, you know, I fight really hard when I'm working with clients and when I'm speaking, you know, on stages and I talk to people. It, just because you come from a place, it doesn't mean that's how you should turn out. I mean, shit, I should be a drug addict. Like I could be, but I mean, I didn't want to be, you know? So I knew from a very early age that that's not the life that I wanted to live. I was really subjected to a lot of those things. And I saw a lot of those things and I saw what it looked like from a sober perspective. Nobody wants to be in that situation. So, I mean, I was lucky because I was exposed to it and I knew what I didn't want. And I knew that in order for me to be the best version of myself, I had to prove everybody wrong. But that was like a young mentality. Like my young mentality was, I have to prove everybody wrong. Like in the grand scheme of things, I really don't give a shit about any of those people I had to prove wrong, because when I did it, it was like, well, yeah, you were supposed to do it. And I'm like, could you like just give me a hug and just say congratulations? It was never, I never had the warm and fuzzy family. So I never had anyone who like pat me on the back and told me like, yay, you did a good job. And so like, I mean, my dad would be like, well, of course, I knew you were going to do that because you were meant to do great things. Like, that's great that you're saying that, but like, just turn around and just be like, hey, I'm so proud of you. So it's just a different mentality and it's just a different age group that I've had to kind of get over that disappointment. And I'll use that as, I felt like I was always disappointed. I'm like, I graduated from college with like a 3.98. I got all of these honors and I was so excited. And I, like my last semester of college, I got diagnosed with a heart condition and I was pregnant with my daughter who was a preemie. So I had to drop out and I had 7 incompletes my last semester of college. And I went back and I completed all of them without ever taking the classes. And I still graduated at the top of my class. So for me, that was like a big, big achievement. And then it was just like, well, yeah, we knew that you were going to succeed. Well, I mean, I just went through all of this. Could you just like, you know, say you did great? Like I never felt like anybody put me on a pedestal. And then I got to this point a few years ago where I was like, no, I should be putting myself on a pedestal. Like it's about me. It's not about any of these people. Like if I want to go do the thing, like I want to celebrate myself. So like I started turning my birthdays into like celebrations and everyone's like, you celebrate your birthday for like a whole month. I'm like, damn right, I celebrate my birthday for a whole month. This is freaking important. I'm alive and I'm celebrating my life. And once I started changing that mentality of this letting go of fear of disappointment, I set zero expectations for people. When I go to meet somebody, we start at zero. There's no expectations whatsoever. So if you disappoint me, then it's going to be like, oh, well, I already set them at zero. So it's not that big of a deal. And I let it go. And it doesn't even affect my day. But then, you know, someone impresses me, then I'm like, oh my goodness, like this person's awesome. I love everything about it. I can't wait to connect with them. And we're going to make a friendship and, you know, all of the things. So it really changes your perspective of how you view things and how you handle things. Because I mean, for me personally, letting go of any type of disappointment, I'm never disappointed. And it's weird because when you come from, like, even my husband is just like, well, you always set me up, you know, to have no expectations. And I'm like, it's not a negative thing. It's like, you have to look at it as a positive thing. If you have no expectations, you're never disappointed. That's a positive, right? Like two negatives are a positive. So it makes me happy because I am always in this feeling of I'm always going to be happy. For me personally, I mean, it doesn't work for everybody else, but it took years, lots of practice.
Yeah. I could definitely see that of the shifting. You keep referring to the shifting. And I think that's, if you're listening, that's what I want. You know, we got to constantly be shifting and evolving. And you've made so many shifts and you're going to continue making those shifts. And it sounds, when I hear what you just said, what comes up for me is how your identity was in your achievements. Your identity was in proving people wrong. You know, that's where, that's what you attached your identity to. And so now you've detached your identity from that. And so you have this strong, sturdy foundation to where you know where your true identity comes from and you see the truth about yourself. And so then therefore, of course, you're not going to be disappointed because you know who you are. You have a strong foundation.
Absolutely. And it changes your mindset. Like for me personally, I used to, you know, I'm a goal setter. So for me, like, I love setting goals and I love achieving them. But just because we're hitting the goal, it doesn't mean that that's the end. So it's like when I hit the goal, it's like, all right, what am I doing next? And so I think that that's really like, some people are goal setters, some people aren't. And that's totally cool. You know, for me having, you know, the crazy brain, setting a goal is me getting to that next milestone. But knowing that there's never an end, right? Like I'm training to run the Boston Marathon in a few months. And so I know that there's no, like, I'll cross the finish line and then I'm training for another race. So, and, you know, just kind of switching what it is that I'm working on. And I do that for me because they're personal achievements and personal goals. When I'm, you know, I'm running the marathon to raise money for Boston Children's Hospital, but I'm also running it because the year before I got diagnosed with my heart condition, I ran the Boston Marathon. And I ran it for Boston Children's Hospital for someone who had a heart condition. And I get teary-eyed when I think about it because within a year of running the marathon, I got diagnosed with a heart condition and a cardiologist who looked at me and said, you're never going to run a marathon ever again. And so for me, that was a really like, I'm not a long distance runner. So let's get that clear. Like I'm not a fast runner. I love half marathons and I like to run because it's like, you know, it feels good. But like just knowing that I was told I couldn't do it was like, who does this chick think she is telling me that like, I'm not going to do this. And it was through that, that my life started to change when I started to say, well, if someone tells you can't do something, not that I want to prove them wrong, but I need to do it for myself. I want to show my kids that if someone tells you you can't do something, you're going to do whatever the hell you want. You want to be an astronaut? Great. How are you going to get there? You want to own a business? What's your business plan? You want to go to this college? What are you going to do to get to the work, to get to where you want to be? So you got to put in the work, but knowing that you're not just going to get it. And when you get it, what are you going to do next with it? What is the good? What is the greater good of why you do all of the things that you do? And, you know, for me, I could be sitting here in front of you right now, and then I could be in the hospital. And I never know when that's going to happen. Like I was cross training this morning. I was doing sprints for like 45 minutes and I was like doing all these crazy things. Then I, you know, when I was in one of the stores or right afterwards, I actually knelt, like I kneeled down. The word wasn't coming out of my mouth. I kneeled down and I went to stand up and I actually almost blacked out because of my heart rate and my blood pressure. If for me, if I don't control it and it's not always in homeostasis, I'll just drop. And so I had to like just stop for a second and just go, all right, take a deep breath. Like you're going to be fine. Go have some more water. Like everything's going to be all right. And you're just going to keep going. I stop for a millisecond and then I just go back to doing what I'm doing. And I want my kids to know that all of the things that are constantly fighting against me are things that I pay attention to and I nurture, but at the same time, I never let control me because I could have easily said, oh, well, my day's done. I feel like crap. I'm just going to stop. Throw it in the towel. I'm done. And it's so easy for people to use any type of excuse to do that. But it's really important too, to also say, is it really an excuse to just not do the things that you don't want to do? And then if you're using that as an excuse, like I said before, what are you going to do to be happy? So if you're saying, well, I just don't want to do that. Well, in that case, should you be doing it anyways? Mm. I don't know. Mm. My mind's a little different.
Good. Like I just admire you so much and appreciate you sharing your wisdom, your insight, your perspective. It's so inspiring, but not just inspiring in the sense of fluffy, but it's possible. You know, it's possible for all of us. And I know that greater things are even more possible for you. And so the fact that you would take the time and just share where you are and the lessons that you've learned, the mindset that you've cultivated, each one of us has the ability to do that. The question is, are we going to do it? Are we going to go beyond, you know, the shoulds or the can'ts, or, you know, like when your doctor said, you'll never run another marathon again. You did not adopt her opinion as your truth. Absolutely. You did not accept that. You took it in and said, okay, thank you for your opinion, but I'm going to figure out for myself if that's actually fact or false.
Right. And I'm not trying to run it like in record timing. I mean, you know, when we were talking about training, my husband's like, what if something happens? And I'm like, well, then I slow down or I stop or I walk. Like, what is the worst case scenario? I start running and my heart hurts, or I have to stop, or I have to slow down, or I have to walk. Like, there's no end all be all, right? Like, so like I can go and do it. Like, and when I train, if I'm running, there are days where like my heart rate is a little high, I walk. But I just keep going. So it's like, you can do something, and there's no right or wrong way of doing it. And I feel like people also like have that misconception that this is the way that things should be done. And I think everything has multiple paths to get to. So when you're setting a goal or doing something, just know that there's not going to be a straight road. Just know that when you come to an intersection, you have a choice, and whatever choice you make, it's not the wrong choice. It's just, that's the direction you're meant to go in that moment in time. Right. So I think, you know, someone who doesn't want to start a business, or someone who doesn't want to take the next step, or someone who's scared to grow, they get to the intersection and they're like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Just pick a path. Right. So for me, it's so easy to say, because I feel like I got to that point, but I know how like debilitating. That's a great word. Debilitating it can be for some people. Cause they're like, if I make the wrong choice, my life might not be the way that it's meant to be. Well, nobody knows what their life is meant to be. So just pick a road, you know? So I feel like our voices are meant to tell people that everything's going to be okay. You can go through all of these crappy things. You can have all of these things happen, but I'm here. I'm doing all the things. And if I took the wrong road, it's not meant that it was the wrong road. It just meant that that was something for me to learn and grow from too. So I think that that's important to really recognize that everything happens for a reason. And I know it's hard for people that have gone through traumatic things to firmly, you know, believe that, myself included, have gone through traumatic things. And sometimes I say, well, why did it happen? And then instead of saying why, I try to take that as a learning experience or a growth moment for that too, because we can't control those unknown forces, right? You just have to have faith that something higher than us is taking care of it.
Absolutely. And I love how you said that a lot of things you say, it comes easy to you. And so what I want to call out is, because you have trained yourself, you have done enough inner work, you've done enough digging deep and exploring and peeling back the layers of the onion, as I talk about it, to where this is your new default. You know, the environment that you grew up in, the mindset that you had when you were younger, I think you said it was the young mindset of proving yourself, that was your default at that point in time. I also had a default. I also have a new default. And so, yes, a lot of things can, you know, just roll off of my tongue and come so natural because that's the new default. So I just love that we went in that direction, because you can constantly change your default and always your anchor point at any time.
It will change. It will never stay consistent. And I feel like if we're in a constant, you know, mode of growth, that it's going to change. And even if you're not growing, that default can still change, because the outside things that are kind of affecting you are going to change the way that you're perceiving them. And, you know, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, that default will constantly change. And it's so important to kind of, you know that we're going to grow, we're going to evolve. And even if you're not where you want to be, you're still going to keep moving forward. I saw a meme last week, and there was something about this meme, and it made me think of all of the people who, and this is not negative, but it made me think of all of the people that like, I just want to hug and help and push like a little further. And it was, you know, a guy standing, you know, it said like age 30, and he's like holding a balloon, and it's like, if only I could do the thing. And then like there's him standing in front, but he's like an older gentleman, and he's standing there with the same thing, if I could only do the thing. And it was like this moment where I was just like, I really just want to like take that person and be like, do the thing, just do it, you know? Because if you don't do it, you're going to get to a point in your life where you're going to regret not doing it. And I think that that's really important too, to recognize.
Thank you so much for mentioning that. What a powerful, powerful just analogy and visual to start the year off with, of that if you're not doing the thing, it's not a sign to stop, else you're going to regret. It's a sign to go deeper and figure out why you can't do the thing. Oh, Jen, exactly. You are so freaking incredible. So as we start wrapping up, where are you now? How can we get more from you and feed off of your just delicious energy?
Well, you know how to get a hold of me. So I'm on all of the social media. So you can look me up, you know, pretty much anywhere. LinkedIn, Jennifer Potter. You see this mugshot with a silly face. I'm on Instagram, Jen, Live Your Best Life. I have that as a handle to constantly remind myself to live my best life, and I can't change it. Every time I go to change it, like, there's no other handle that actually fits. So Jen_liveyourbestlife. It's also the same on YouTube, Jen Potter on Facebook. I'm literally on every single social media platform. So shoot me a DM. I actually keep all of my notifications off, so I don't check them every single moment of the day. I have scheduled time that I do that. So if I don't respond to you right away, like, it's, don't take it offensively. I'm just very, you know, time oriented, but, you know, shoot me a message. You can email me jen@epic47.com, EPIC47.com. That's a super easy way to get a hold of me. But, like, I love people reaching out to me that I don't know, and they're like, let's have a virtual coffee. I'm like, let's do it. Let me, you know, I want to learn all about other people. I love connecting people. How can I connect you to somebody else? If I know someone or don't know someone, how can I learn and grow? And that's the best part, because you never know how you're going to meet someone. Like, we met randomly, like, through, like, a podcast group, and then we had our first conversation. I'm like, oh my God, I love this girl. Like, we're meant to be friends. My husband's like, where does she live? I'm like, it doesn't even matter. Like, so, you know, the internet is such an amazing thing that you can connect with people and you can see their faces and have, like, true conversations and truly become friends with somebody without actually being in front of them. So, like, technology is amazing. So you're stuck with me.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That is something I'm going to be stuck on.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, Jen, you're amazing. Of course, I'll include all of those links in the episode description. But thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your light with us. And I have chills right now. So I know that somebody is going to be super blessed by this. So thank you so much, Jen.
There you have it. Oh, my goodness. Wasn't that conversation so juicy and delicious? I love checking in with you, or prompting you to check in with yourself at the end of the episode. How are you feeling right now? Are you feeling totally jazzed up, lifted up, you know, just feeling in the energy that what you want is possible? Whether your next level looks like starting a nonprofit, maybe it looks like starting a business. Or maybe you've been working your business, and so your next level is to grow it and expand your reach. Maybe it's to write your second book or start your doctorate, whatever that looks like for you, wherever you are in your journey. I just pray that this conversation echoed a little bit of hope inside of your day before the lies and the naysayers and the haters and the doubts flood in. I hope that you can hang on to this and know that what you want is possible. In fact, that what you want is possible, that you are worthy of it and you do deserve it. Yes, you can create the life you want. You can create a life you love. It's all about focusing on the inside, because once we focus on the inside, then it has the power to shift everything on the outside. But so many of us try to change the outside first, right? That is what we are taught. No, no, no. Oh my goodness, that is so important from my perspective to really just hone in on the inside, the inside, the inside, the inside. And as I say, as we solidify our sense of self, we solidify our calling. And it is such a beautiful and amazing journey. And I am here to support you literally every single step of the way, so that doubts, inadequacies, upper limits, fears that you're going through do not hold you back from reaching the top of that mountain that is in sight for you. It is insight for you. It is destined for you. It is possible for you. It is yours to claim. Do not let those doubts, do not let those voices from your past have so much power over you that they prevent you from continuing your climb. Whatever your climb looks like, Oh my gosh, I am on fire right now. I have chills. I could keep going. Oh, but be sure to check out the Made for More Masterclass as well as BTG. And if you just really resonated with Jen and her high vibe energy, I definitely encourage you to connect you or tripping over my words. I definitely encourage you to connect with her on social media. All right. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day and be sure to tune in next week for a super duper special episode. All right. Bye now.